Chapter 10. We continued to follow the compass's instructions and ended up walking for hours along the beautiful but desolate beach. The grains of sand glittered like snow, and the air was both warm and cool as the wind changed direction. The sky was the clearest shade of blue I'd ever seen, and the water was like crystal. Everything seemed too perfect, like someone had carefully painted a picture, spent hours on every detail, and then brought it to life. But as striking as the realm was, its holy presence was also eerily disturbing. I could feel consecrated energy sifting through the air each time my foot sank into the sand, and the air was so sweet it almost hurt to breathe in. I stared down at the needle as it continued to point us northwest, but when I gazed off into the distance, I didn't see a fucking thing. It was just miles and miles of sand and nothing more. No rocks, no castles, no hills. Nothing.
Cole!
Vanessa sighed with exhaustion, and she fanned her flushed face with her long-fingered hand.
Has there been any change?
No. It's still pointing in the same direction.
We've been walking for hours and the sun hasn't begun to set. It looks like it's still noon, but it should be early sunset by now. I don't think the sun ever sets here.
Vanessa explained as she glanced up at the sky.
There's no night in the Elder Heavens, and we're getting even closer now.
We should probably stop and rest. I'm not sensing any danger here, and at this point we're running on fumes.
I think that's a wise idea. Cole, I imagine you've exerted a great amount of energy. You'll need your strength if we're going to continue following the compass.
That's true. I responded as I rubbed the knots in my neck, and I was surprised by her agreeable behavior. I'd been so preoccupied with following the compass and making sure the scouts were long gone that I didn't realize just how exhausted I was. I'd spent most of my night fucking all of my women, so my eyelids were heavy, my head was foggy, and my body was so sore the pain was almost numbing. Vanessa pulled out her wand and waved it around in three perfect circles above her head, and two large tents appeared out of nowhere. I sighed with relief at the sight of them, and the familiars wasted no time before they cuddled up into a small love pile in between the tents.
Oh, I'm too tired to even eat.
Beatrix yawned before she looked at the others.
I think I'm just going to sleep. Master, is that all right with you?
Yes. I nodded. In fact, I feel the same way. I'll join you all in a moment. My coven quickly slipped into the giant tent, but before I followed them inside, I turned to Vanessa and raised an eyebrow in her direction.
What is it, Cole?
She sighed before she rubbed her tired eyes.
I'm exhausted.
We'll need a way to destroy those elders before they return. Do you know of any ancient magic we can use to eliminate them?
I'll have to sleep on it. My best ideas come to mind when I'm in the deepest of dreams.
All right, I said after a long moment. Sleep well, Vanessa.
You too, Cole.
We stared at each other for what felt like an eternity, before she blushed and quickly whirled around. Once she stepped inside her tent, Isabel followed behind her, and I took a deep breath and looked up at the clear blue sky. I'll be seeing you soon, Samara. I hope you're ready for me. A cool breeze whipped past my face before I slipped inside our separate tent, and when I looked down, the women were already asleep on top of silk blankets. They were all cuddled up against each other and softly breathing like they were lost in the darkest and most beautiful of dreams. I couldn't help but smile as I looked down at them, and I made sure to quietly take off my boots before I joined their little love pack. I quietly settled down between Penelope and Marina, and both women instantly wrapped their legs and arms around my body. I relished in their warm touch before I closed my eyes and fell into a deep, calm sleep. I silently hoped for an uneventful rest, but something in the back of my mind told me not to get my hopes up. At first, everything was still, but then darkness turned into a wash of deep purple and red hues, And when everything became clear, I realized I was in a dark forest, entirely surrounded by nightfall and woodland creatures. Owls cooed, and a swarm of bats screeched as they flew past my face and into the unknown abyss. The air smelled strongly of pine wood and exotic spices, and I knew this wasn't a dream where I'd encounter Samara. No, this was a dream of evil and darkness. There was no form of light, and the ominous surroundings made my heart pound with exhilaration rather than dread. I thought I saw a slim shadow in between the trees, so I took a step closer, but the silhouette didn't move an inch.
I can see you.
Is it you?
Yes, it's me.
A familiar voice said, and when the moonlight hit the woods, I saw the woman from my dreams as she stood beautifully between the trees. She wore a dark emerald green dress, and her long black hair tumbled over her slender shoulders. Her lips were as red as blood, and her skin was as pale as snow.
You've been wary, Cole. Your powers have been rising, but still, it's taken a toll on your body and mind as they grow accustomed to it. Now, we must not waste any time. I need to show you something, and I need to have your full attention. It's a matter of life or death.
What is it? I asked as curiosity flooded through my body.
A series of spells that will help you fight against the Elder Scouts.
She said with a mischievous smile.
These incantations date back to the first dawn, when Wiccas would willingly enter the heavens to kill the Elder Lord's most trusted servants.
And how do you possess such knowledge? I asked, and I hoped for once she would give me a straight answer.
I don't even know your name, or how old you are, or why you're helping me.
I need to know these
things. As I said, Cole, there's not much time, and I promise you, the appropriate day will arise very soon, and you will have all the answers you seek.
I understand, I said, and I shook off my minor disappointment. The woman had not lied or led me astray yet, so I trusted her word that she would give me answers as soon as she could. All right, you have my full attention.
Now, this ancient, murderous incantation is composed of three spells. You must be able to utter all three if you want to defeat the Scouts, and none of these spells require a wand, so words can be uttered at any time. Now, the first part is simple. Just open your heart to Satan, and with all your strength, say the words, Da fortitudinem. Go on, give it a go.
I cleared my throat, closed my eyes, and welcomed Satan into my heart. Then, when my mind was open and prepared, I repeated the spell in a loud, commanding voice. Suddenly, it felt like an ocean wave hit me, and I stumbled backward. I had to catch myself before I fell. And when I looked at the woman, it was like water was filling my lungs. I knew I was in a dream, but still, I feared I was about to lose total consciousness.
Fight it, Cole. Do not let it overpower you. You know you can do this. I've seen your powers before. Do not let this one destroy you.
I know, I said through gritted teeth. I'm trying to fight it with every ounce of strength I have in me.
Pain pierced my bones like a thousand needles while I stood there and tried to fight against the agonizing sensation. Bile rose in my throat, but I resisted the urge to hunch over and spill my guts out. My eyesight became blurry, and a burning sensation flowed through the inside of my head. My brain was on fire, and I'd never felt any spell take such an overwhelming toll like this on me before. I fought with everything I had inside me to defeat it, but it was like I was slowly dying. Finally, my body seemed to relax cell by cell, and the painful tension began to drift away like a dying storm. I took a deep breath as my vision cleared, and the woman from my dreams was smiling like she was hiding a delicious secret.
Well done.
She grinned with her hands folded in front of her.
Now, for the second part. Once you've completed the first spell, you must say, Ostende mihi viam.
Since I was already surrounded by the power of Satan's darkness, I closed my eyes and carefully repeated every word. Another powerful sensation swept over my body, but this time there was no nausea, no pain, or disorientation. All I felt was immense supremacy and the will to kill anything or anyone I desired. My heart swelled with Satan's glory, and it was like my fingertips were tingling with lightning from the greatest and most violent of storms. "I can feel the ancient power coursing through me," I said, as I balled my fists by my side and grinned from ear to ear. "Oh, it tastes delicious."
"Yes,"
the woman nodded.
"Still, we have one more part of the spell to complete. Your powers have not reached their full potential, at least not yet. But they will."
"So what's the third part?"
"Ut interficias eius, qui in virtute Dei signoria magicae."
Once I uttered the third and final part of the incantation, the entire ground was shaking, and I thought the earth was going to split in two and swallow me whole. I maintained my stance and kept my eyes wide open as fire coursed through my veins and seeped into my heart. At that moment, I felt completely invincible, like nothing could ever defeat me. I'd never experienced such dark energy overpowering my senses, and I relished in the almost orgasmic feeling. Nothing could stop my power from growing, and I couldn't wait to see Samara's face when she realized just how powerful I'd become. "Unholy shit! That was incredible!"
"And now, you have the power to defeat those scouts,"
she said, before she glanced up at the sky, which was now a pale shade of lavender.
"Go. You must go now, but be careful. This was just practice within a dream. The real experience will be far more painful. The spells will be incredibly draining, but I'm sure you and your clever women will come up with a solution to boost your power reserves."
"Understood," I said with my chin raised. "Thank you for your knowledge. I don't know what I'd do without you."
"Oh, Cole, I'm so proud of you,"
the woman said before she took a step closer and peered into my eyes.
"You have no idea what lengths I'd go to make sure you're kept alive."
Her magnetic eyes bored into mine, and it was like she was studying every inch of my soul. I felt a deep connection with her, one I'd never experienced with anyone before, and the foreign feeling left my mouth dry and my heart aching. The woman brushed a lock of hair out of my face, and she smiled maternally at me as she took a step back.
"Now wake up. Your plan is almost complete, my Dark Lord. It's time to prepare for battle."
Dark Lord. My entire body suddenly jerked upward, and my eyes opened in the dimness of the tent. I was slick with sweat, and my heart pounded with exhilaration, since the power I summoned in my dreams was still flowing through my veins and tingling every nerve in my body. I never felt so alert in my life, and I knew I had to rouse the others awake. "Up! Everyone, wake up! We have a lot to get done, and we're wasting time as we speak."
"Master? Is something wrong? Are we under attack?"
Akira snapped before she sat up and waved her wand around.
"If so, I'm ready to fuck shit up."
"What?" "No." I chuckled, and each woman stared at me with furrowed eyebrows and confused frowns. "No, everything is fine. I just had a dream, and I know what we have to do to defeat the scouts. It's going to require a lesson. And perhaps a potion from you, Penelope."
"A lesson?"
Morgana gasped, like she'd just discovered a chest filled with gold.
"A potion?"
Penelope squealed as she clapped her hands together.
"I can't wait."
"And neither can we. If we're going to conduct the lesson, we'll need the potion first."
"So what the hell are we waiting for?"
Akira grinned from ear to ear.
"Let's figure out how to kill these assholes once and for all."
"Agreed. Now get up and dress. Hurry." The women wasted no time before they tossed the sheets off their bare bodies and clumsily began to get dressed. Once I was fully clothed, I stepped out of the tent and marched toward Vanessa's quarters, and when I pushed the tent opening out of the way, I took a moment to stare at the professor while she slept. She reminded me of a delicate porcelain doll, with her creamy, dewy skin and the dark mass of hair spread underneath her head like a pool of melted chocolate. Her rosy lips were slightly parted open as she slept, and her dark, silken lashes fluttered every now and then. Her wolf lifted her head up and stared at me with her piercing blue eyes, and as we gazed at each other, Vanessa suddenly stirred awake. The light from outside was streaming through her tent, and it made her blue eyes glow as she gaped at me.
Cole, is something wrong?
No. In fact, I have some good news.
Well, that's a pleasant change of pace.
She grumbled before she sat up and rubbed at her tired eyes.
So, what is this marvelous news you speak of? It better be good since you've decided to just trespass into my private tent.
The woman from my dreams taught me an ancient spell. It will be able to kill the scouts, and we'll no longer have to worry about them gaining on us.
Fantastic,
she said, and I could tell she was fully alert now.
Well, explain it to me so I can show the others.
With all due respect, Professor, I'd rather be the one to demonstrate the spells myself.
Wait,
Vanessa said, and her voice turned ice cold.
Are you suggesting that you teach me? I don't think so.
This isn't the time for petty arguments.
I'm still your professor, Mr. Cole.
She snapped before she folded her arms together. I know that, but these are unusual circumstances. Vanessa stared long and hard at me, and even though she was fuming, I could see her features slowly softening and her body gradually relaxing.
Fine.
She relented before her eyes lowered down to her sheer undergown, and a deep blush spread across her face.
Get out and give me time to get dressed.
I could see the outline of her pointed nipples protruding through the thin fabric, and she did her best to discreetly cover them up with her silk blanket. Then she brushed her dark, messy hair out of her face and avoided eye contact with me. Fine. I'll meet you outside in a few minutes.
Get out!
She growled through gritted teeth. I nodded and left the fuming professor to get dressed. The sun was burning bright when I stepped outside, so I had to shield my eyes from its searing intensity. My coven was already gathered around in a circle on the sandy beach, and those who had long hair were either pinning it up or braiding it behind their backs. The familiars were awake and playing with each other along the clear coast, and for a moment it seemed like all was at peace. I smiled at the sight before me, because it had been too long since we were able to take a moment to breathe. All right, everyone, I clapped once I snapped out of it. Gather around me and listen up. After the women did as I ordered, Vanessa stepped out of the tent and stared at me from head to toe. I could tell she was still pissed I was taking control, but she also knew she had no other choice. When everyone was facing me, I grinned and looked around at all of my bright, intelligent, badass women. Okay, so I'm going to teach you an ancient series of spells to kill the scouts. I don't have time to explain how I know about them, but they are very powerful and very taxing. We need to come up with something to counteract those effects. My first thought was a potion, but a charm or spell would work just as well. My women furrowed their eyebrows and bit their lips as they considered my words, but after a long moment, Penelope tentatively raised her hand. Yes, Penelope?
I think I have an idea.
She said, and her tongue darted out to nervously wet her dry lips.
There is a potion called a Restitutio Industria. It's a very old and powerful brew. The most powerful one I've ever read about, actually.
Excellent. I grinned. That sounds perfect. We'll go with that.
But I've only read about this potion.
Penelope protested with wide eyes.
I've never concocted one before.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to. I'm your master, and you know you can trust me.
Yeah, and we trust you to know your potions like Morgana knows all random facts magical.
Akira added with a smirk. Morgana shot the dark-eyed witch a glare, but Penelope laughed.
Thanks, Akira.
The orange-haired witch said before her chocolate-colored eyes found mine.
And thank you, Master, for believing in me. I won't let you down.
I know you won't. I replied, and I meant it.
Now, what ingredients will you be needing, Penelope?
Beatrix asked with bright, eager eyes.
Luckily, everything I need actually comes from the sea, which was one of the reasons I remembered it, since we're so close and all.
Penelope said as her eyes fell upon the gentle waves.
If I remember correctly, I'll need a lilac shell, a shard of purple sea glass, an egg of eel, rubles, seaweed, and a fully formed pearl. I can find those without a problem.
Marina said with a bright smile.
I don't even have to dive that deep. What can we do to help?
Morgana asked as she cocked her head.
You can look along the shore for a shard of sea glass?
Penelope instructed, as the familiars gathered closer to listen.
It should be embedded within the grains of the shoreline.
Will do, I said, while we started to look around. Marina took off her clothes before she dove into the water, and while she was searching for the ingredients, the rest of us treaded along the shore to search for a purple shard of glass. While I strained my eyes to look down at the sand, Alexander flew by my side and began to look down and help me.
Once we kill the scouts, how far do you think it'll be until we reach the Elder Heaven?
I have no idea, I said with a small shrug. It could take days, maybe even weeks.
Satan,
he said, before he came to a sudden stop and looked down at the sand.
Wait, Cole, isn't that the glass you're looking for?
I followed his gaze, and I caught a glimpse of shimmering purple glass buried in the sand. It was as large as a dagger when I reached down to pull it out, and the light made it shift an array of colors. Hues of purple, lilac, and lavender sparkled across the white beads of sand, and a smile spread across my face before I tucked it into my waistband. Good eye. Now, let's return this to the others and see if Marina found the other ingredients yet. When Alex and I returned to the campsite, Marina was putting on her clothes, and an array of artifacts were splayed out on the sand. The other women were studying each ingredient with careful eyes and marveling at the beauty of each piece.
Now that we have everything,
Penelope said, once she flashed me a wide smile.
Let's make this damn potion and learn those spells. I don't know about the rest of you, but I can't wait to kill those motherfuckers.
Neither can I said, as excitement coursed through my body. And mark my words, we'll make their deaths as agonizing as possible.